The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin and one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have eternal life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
On Tuesday, I had the privilege of being the guest speaker, actually the motivational speaker, at the Altrusa Scholarship Dinner. And Altrusa is a group of people who gather together and actually, you could talk to Karen Stay, Linda Anderson, or Jerry Cooley, and they'll tell you more about Altrusa. But that night, they were offering scholarships to graduating seniors throughout. It's Thurston County, correct? Yeah, from representing different high schools from, you know, Rochester, Shelton, North Thurston, Rainier, Yelm, kind of from all over. And each of those seniors had many challenges and obstacles that they had to overcome and are working on overcoming in their lives to get to the point where they are today. And I have to say that their stories have almost haunted me, but maybe not in such a bad or scary way, but in an important and significant way. Some of these students were kicked out of their house because of their sexual orientation. Most lost parents due to substance abuse, either by the very addiction, their parents were simply not present for or with them, or their parents were incarcerated, or worse, their parents died because of their substance abuse. Others escaped homes that were physically or emotionally abusive. And many of them experienced or are experiencing homelessness and poverty. But each of these students, each one of them was highly motivated, optimistic, humble, extremely appreciative, and radiated a profound sense of hope. I'm really thankful that I spoke before they shared their stories, because I don't know if I could have said anything other than amen. God bless you. Because they were simply amazing. And that hope was not just hope for their future, but hope that they embodied for today. I was really deeply touched by their resilience, the depth of their spirit, because each one of these students had to believe in the face of a whole lot of doubt and persevere against many, many obstacles, many of them over which they had little to no control. Now, we might assume that these students, and rightly so, that they want to further their education so that they can have a better life than they have had so far. And that's true, yes, but each one of them, all of them, to a person, one bettered that. And by that I mean they were each very compassionate, very thankful, and each one of them said that they wanted to push on and continue their education so that they can help others in a significant way. They want to be teachers, they want to be medical professionals, they want to be small business owners, because they want to give back to the community that was there for them when their families were not. They knew that a lot of people have helped them along their way, and they wanted to be those kind of people, those kind people, and help others. And it struck me that at 17, 18, 19 years of age, they already understood. They already knew that how we journey through life is more important than where we are going. Who we are and how we are in this world is truly central. And it made me wonder, who am I? Who am I? Who are we? Who are we as the people of God? Who are we as the people of God here at St. Mark Lutheran Church? And how are we journeying through life? Are we compassionate? Are we loving? Are we generous and giving? Are we thankful? Are we kind? How are we being the kind of kind people that help others? How are we reaching out to the most vulnerable among us? We know it's not easy to love like this or live like this. It's a risk. It's a risk. It's always a risk to love and give and reach out. The disciples knew this. I mean, we hear a story about how they are terrified. They are literally locked in a room and have been for a whole week because they're afraid. They just lost their teacher, the one who gave them a second chance at life, who was killed because of how he journeyed through this world, that the love, the compassion, the generosity that Jesus proclaimed and lived cost him his life. Over and over again, Jesus challenged the disciples to love, to be compassionate, to be giving, to be kind. What were they to do now that he was gone? Couldn't help but think this past week, as I thought about these students and their stories, who they are, where they've been, where they're going in their lives, and think about the conversations that we've had here at St. Mark about how do we support unaccompanied youth in our school district? How do we help homeless students? Because there's a great need. I mean, there is no question there's a great need. There are currently 192 unaccompanied youth in the North Thurston Public Schools. Almost 200 students. That's not okay. That's unacceptable. These are our kids. 160 of them are high school students. That means more than 30 students are younger than 14 years of age. Unaccompanied youth are students that do not live with one of their custodial parents, many of them couch surf among friends. Some live with grandparents. Some live with extended family. But these are students who are classified by the McKinney-Vento Act as being homeless without parental support. We know, because we've talked about this, we know that reaching out in love to anyone, anyone, student, adult, anyone, is a risk. And one of the biggest concerns that we have, one of the biggest risks we face when we reach out and help anyone, when we invite anyone into our lives, into our church, is the risk of liability, right? It's a very responsible concern because it's taking seriously our commitment to our ministry, to our facilities, to our institution of the church. We need to be responsible. That's being a good steward, is being responsible. But my question is, how can we be responsible and be responds-able? Okay? How can we be responsible to the gifts that we have, to who we are, and how can we also be able and willing to respond in love? Even though that response always includes risk. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, but I'm going to put that question back out there for us because we have to be asking that question. What does it mean to be responsible in this time, in this place, to respond to this need? Because that's who we are as the church. I do know that at some point over and over again that the love of Christ trumps liability. Over and over again. At some point, faith prevails over fear of what might happen. It did when the despised Samaritan reached down and picked up that beaten, half-dead Jewish man and put him on his beast to take care of him. It did when Jesus reached out to the man who was shunned by his community, sitting outside the city gate. Jesus reached out and he touched him and healed him of leprosy. It did when Jesus challenged the righteous crowd, that the one without sin can be the very first one to cast a stone to hit the woman who was condemned for adultery. It did when Jesus summoned Zacchaeus, the detested tax collector, to come out of the tree because he was going to stay at his house that night. Love trumped liability. Faith prevailed against fear. When Jesus, the risen Christ, breathed on his terror-stricken, immobilized disciples, empowering them with forgiveness. Forgiveness that spanned the past, the present, the future, so that they could finally leave their locked room of fear and live out the love that they had received from Christ. Love of Christ trumps liability. Faith in God prevails against fear. It does so for you, and it does so for me. That's our faith. That's the joy of Easter, the promise of resurrection. Christ keeps returning to us, just as he did to his disciples. He comes to us in the water, in the word, in the bread and the wine. Comes to us in the gift of one another, always granting peace, empowering us to live lives of forgiveness, forgiveness that spans for us that past is here for us in the present and will be there for us in the future, so that we too can leave those locked rooms of fear and doubt to love and to give generously in Christ's name. We know too well that loving and giving in the name of Christ is a huge risk. But don't we risk more if we do nothing? Don't we, as the people of God, risk more? We risk losing our very heart and soul of who we are. We risk not being who God created us to be, and how God created us to live as we journey through life. Forgiven and forgiving, loved and loving, children of God, that is who we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.